Hello, and welcome to the Marketing in the Margins podcast, where we talk about the how-to of marketing your business while also running your business and living your life. I'm Katie, your host, marketing mentor, and fellow entrepreneur pal. Let's get into it. Happy Women's History Month, my loves. I've always loved Women's History Month. I just think, yes, we should be celebrated, first of all, but second of all, as a lifelong feminist, as somebody who is a strong woman that was raised by strong women, that has really only ever seen strong women in my immediate life. Yeah, we do deserve a whole month. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. And since I've become a woman business owner and a woman entrepreneur, it takes on sort of like a whole new special meaning. And so what I wanted to do with this episode is like get a little bit of history teacher on you. I also find it fascinating, like the history of women in business. But doing my research for actually a blog post that I was writing for a client, I came across the name and the story of this woman who is the first recorded woman entrepreneur in U.S. history, Eliza Lucas Pinckney, in 1739, at the age of 17 years old, took over her family's farm in South Carolina. And I do want to say, and I do think it's important to acknowledge the fact that Eliza, while she has some amazing accolades to her name, and she was the first woman entrepreneur and actually changed the entire agricultural industry in South Carolina, she was a slave owner. This was the 1700s in colonial America in the South. So while I don't want to excuse that, it is just historical fact. And I do think it needs to be said and acknowledged. So when Eliza took over her family's farm, she was 17 years old. And at the time, her family was in pretty serious debt. She oversaw three different operations, and all three of them were not making money. And so her father had been called away, I believe, by the British government, and she was put in charge of these farms. The other thing about Eliza is that she was sort of brilliant, and she was very interested in botany, which at the time, like, that was one of the sciences that women were permitted to be into, right? Like, the study of plants was considered feminine enough for women to get into. And so she sort of dove right in. And as she was trying to figure out how to turn her family's business around and how to start making money, she started playing around with indigo seeds, which indigo is a type of dye. At the time, indigo was in high demand in England. And remember, this was 1739. South Carolina was still a colony of England. So she thought, okay, how can I use this plant, which was not native to South Carolina, how can I somehow modify it, make it grow in this environment so that I can start taking advantage of this demand? Like, she saw a gap in the market, she saw demand, and she was like, how are we going to fill it and start making some money? And through like good old trial and error, she developed an indigo plant that grew incredibly well in the South Carolina climate. Eliza went on to marry, of course, because she was expected to, and have kids, but she never stopped running her family's farms. And in fact, after the farms were destroyed during the Revolutionary War, she then turned to spying for the colonies during the war. She was like, okay, well, I guess I can't run my farms. Might as well make use of this big old brain I got. Her children went on to hold positions in government. One of her sons actually signed the Declaration of Independence. And when she died in 1793, President George Washington was one of her pallbearers. So little old Eliza from a plantation farm in South Carolina took the business world by storm at a time when women were seen as nothing more than wives and mothers. And then in 1989, almost 100 years after her death, she was inducted into the South Carolina Business Hall of Fame, the first woman to ever do so. I love stories like this because if you really think about Eliza in the context of history, and now I'm not like a historian by any means, but I do know the basics of what a woman's life was like in colonial America. For her to not only step up and take over such a huge business enterprise, but to do it in a way that was like, oh, we're going to do it and then we're going to do better. We are going to take this from what it is and create something that they say we can't out of it, which, if I can get a little philosophical, is literally what women do best. I have now been a woman for 42 years. I've been a mom for 10 of those years. I've been a business owner for 4 of those years. And having surrounded myself with women just like me, a common theme is doing the incredible thing in spite of the life around us. We are building businesses while also raising families. We are raising families while also healing ourselves and wanting something greater for us, our families, and our communities. I chose Eliza's story out of a lot that I read in my research, not just because she was the first ever recorded woman entrepreneur, but because her story speaks to exactly what so many women, even now today in 2024, are up against in business. And while we're up against those things, we are still doing it. We are still building really successful businesses in the face of continued gender role biases and doubt and, well, you can't do that because sort of attitudes. So this month, I celebrate women like Eliza and every woman entrepreneur who came after her, who did it in the face of something else, who did it despite being told, no, you can't, or no, you shouldn't, or you're not the one. Babe, you are always the one, simply because you exist. So share this story with somebody today. Tell somebody about Eliza. She's not like one of these great American heroes because she was not a man, but her story should still be told. Thank you for listening today. If you love this episode, I'd love if you could share it. And if you have a second, jump over to Apple Podcasts. It's linked down in the show notes. And leave a quick review. I have learned that reviews matter more than I realized when I first got into this podcasting thing. And better SEO means a greater reach. And a greater reach means greater impact. And for women in business, we need to do this together. So thank you again. And remember, keep making magic in the margins of your life.